The second lesson, the epistle lesson, is recorded in the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. Here, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the God-man, we rejoice that he came to live, to die, and to rise again so that we might be saved by grace through him. This is also the sermon text for this morning. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the lesson. Alleluia, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Alleluia. Grace, peace, and mercy be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I'd like to consider with you this morning is that epistle lesson from Romans chapter 1, which was read for you just a few moments ago. In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming again, dear friends. If our Lord and God were to call a press conference this morning and present a news release to this world of ours, what do you think he would say? I think there are a lot of people in our world who think he would say something along these lines. I'm really ticked off at you guys. And if you don't knock it off, I'm going to send judgment. On the other hand, there are others who say, no, I think what God would say to us is, don't worry, be happy. About 15 years ago, there was an anonymous Fort Lauderdale, Florida resident who hired the Smith Advertising Agency in Fort Lauderdale to create an ad campaign in order to try to get people thinking about God in their daily lives. And you may remember some of those billboards which were posted throughout our land, which purported to be messages from God. Things like, let's meet at my house on Sunday before the game. And it's signed, God. Another one said, which part of thou shalt not do you not understand? Signed, God. Another one said simply, don't make me come down there. And another one, I don't doubt your existence. I like those ads. And I like them because they were very clever. And they got people's attention. Well, if God were to issue a press release this morning, on this day in the year 2019, what would he say to this world of ours? Well, the good news is you and I don't have to guess about that. Because God has given us absolutely everything that he wants us to know in his book which we call the Bible. Those 66 books of the Bible are God's message to this world. And in the Bible, probably one of the most comprehensive explanations of God's press release to the world is found in the New Testament in the Epistle to the Romans. The Apostle Paul is the letter writer of that Epistle to the Romans. And you know the Apostle Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books in our New Testament. You will probably also know Paul's past history. Paul had been born as a Pharisee. He had been well educated by the Jews, and he had been a very bitter, angry enemy of the Christian faith. But all of that changed for the man called Paul as he was on his way to Damascus in order to persecute the Christian church there. Because on that road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus himself suddenly appeared to the Apostle Paul and made him the Apostle Paul. And Paul's transformation was a radical one. He went from being an anti-Christian bigot to a very passionate Christian missionary, probably the best Christian missionary that this world has ever known. And the epistle to the Romans that he wrote is the longest of the Apostle Paul's 13 New Testament letters, and it is also probably one of the most complex of his letters as well. It is filled with all sorts of doctrinal insights, all sorts of biblical teachings regarding our Savior God, the person of Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ has done for us and for our salvation. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the Romans while he was in the Greek city of Corinth. And his plans at that time were that he was basically making a revisiting of the Christian churches that he had established throughout Asia Minor. And as he went to those Christian churches, he was gathering from them an offering which he was about to take back to the needy saints who were suffering back there in the city of Jerusalem. And after he had gone back and delivered that offering to Jerusalem, it was the Apostle Paul's plans that he wasn't going to stay there, but that rather he was going to travel on to the city of Rome. And he was going to visit the Christian congregation there. Now, he had not started that Christian congregation. He had never been to Rome before, but he had heard of the Roman Christians, and he wanted to go there and make a visit to that church. And then his ultimate goal was to sail from Rome on to Spain in order to do missionary work and activity there in Spain. Now, since the Apostle Paul had never been to Rome, one of the reasons for his writing this letter to the Romans was he was trying to introduce himself to the Christian congregation there and pave the way for his eventual visit there. Now, he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. There can be no doubt about that. When Jesus converted him there on the road to Damascus, he commissioned him to be his apostle to the Gentile world. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul had been set apart to proclaim God's gospel. And the word gospel is never used in a bad sense. In other words, it's never used to describe bad news. It always describes good news. It's the good news that the expectant father brings to the waiting room outside the maternity ward and says, "It's a girl." It's the excitement on the face of the high school senior who tears open that letter and finds out that she has been accepted as a student at Georgetown. It's the look of relief on the surgeon's face when he announces to you, "It's not cancer." It's the smile on the commanding officer's face who tells his soldiers, "The war is finally over, and you're going home." Now, you know, back then they did not have television, they didn't have newspapers, they didn't have the internet. And so in order to spread that good news, there would be a messenger who would be sent to the various towns, and that messenger would announce the good news. That messenger, kind of like a town crier in our early colonial days here in America, that messenger was called an evangelist, a person who proclaimed the good news. And from that word, evangelist, we get the word gospel. And as we find that gospel message, which the Apostle Paul shares with those Roman Christians, we see that it contains several important facts. He is presenting God's press release to these Roman Christians. And as he does that, he reminds them, first and foremost of all, this message that I have to share with you is good news. Maybe that should be obvious, that a message from God should be good news. But there are a lot of people who think that God's message to the world is bad news. Now, we do not avoid the bad news which God presents to us in the pages of Scripture. Those topics like sin and God's judgment against sin. Those are biblical truths and we present them. But that is not the central message of Scripture. The central message of Scripture is what the Apostle Paul is describing here as he writes to those Roman Christians. He does not shy about describing human sinfulness in all of its graphic detail. As a matter of fact, as you read on in Romans chapter 1 and get to the end of Romans chapter 1, there's a very graphic and vivid description of sin in this world. But that's not the only message that Paul shares with these people. Once he has convicted them of their sinfulness, he is there with that sweet, precious message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has forgiven men's sins by his perfect life and his innocent suffering and death on the cross. God's gospel message is the core and the center of the Christian faith. And the good news is that that golden thread of the gospel is interwoven throughout all 66 books of the Bible. So that Bible forms one unified tapestry, one unified message from our loving God of the depth of his love for sinful humanity and of the prescription which God has given to us to answer the sinful world's need, to turn bad news into good news. So we know that this message which the Apostle Paul is sharing with these Romans is good news. But what's the content of that good news? Well, listen as the Apostle Paul describes it again. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Paul says, this message I have to share with you is good news, it's gospel. And this is the content of that gospel message. God's press release to this world is about his son. And notice the emphasis which Paul places on Jesus there in those three short verses. He is called, first of all, a descendant of David. In other words, Jesus Christ was a genuine human being related to the ancient Jewish king David. And Jesus Christ also was God's promised son, the promised Messiah, whom God had promised, first of all, to our fallen parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, and then kept that promise alive down through the centuries until finally now it was reaching its fulfillment in Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. And Jesus Christ is not only one of David's descendants, he is also the very Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He was a legal heir to David through his adoptive father, Joseph. And he was related biologically to David through his mother, Mary. And what Jesus Christ did through his life, death, and resurrection is good news for us. He was unique, no doubt about that. But he wasn't just a teacher. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just some modern-day guru of their time. No, God's gospel claims that Jesus Christ is God himself in the flesh, in human form. He is the God-man. And so we've seen two characteristics now of this press release which God gave to the world. It's good news, first of all, and secondly, it's good news about his son, Jesus Christ, the God-man. But then we read on in verses 5 to 7. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome, who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there the Apostle Paul describes his personal calling to bring God's press release to the Gentile world. And these Romans to whom he was writing were by and large Gentiles. A Gentile is simply any non-Jewish person. And back then, the Gentiles basically were irreligious people, and so you could associate unbeliever with the word Gentile in the scriptures. These were basically men and women who had no knowledge at all of the scriptures, no background in the Bible, and no real religion that they believed in. And the fact that the Apostle Paul was now going to these Gentiles in Rome in order to bring that message of Christianity to them meant that God's gospel was not limited in its scope. It wasn't a message which was simply intended for religious or church people. It was a message which is also intended for the person who is sleeping off a hangover this morning. It is intended for the people who flock to the local gay bar on Friday nights. God's gospel is intended for the people who live next door to us in our communities, in our neighborhoods, who choose to sleep in their beds every Sunday morning rather than darken the doors of a church. And I hope you realize that, especially at this season of the year, just like at every Christmas, people at this time of the year are longing for something which is going to make them merry and jolly. Some people hope that the Christmas parties that they attend are going to do that for them. But the buzz of the beers and the alcohol will not last that long. Others hope that the family gatherings that they're going to be part of will be family gatherings in which everybody will get along, and that it'll be a wonderful Christmas because of that. And yet, what hope is there for that when people by nature are inclined to insist on having things their own way, regardless of what other people want? A Christmas tree which is absolutely stuffed with presents underneath that are just waiting to be opened may seem like the thing that's going to bring merriness and jolly, happy feelings into our lives. But once all those gifts are opened and all that remains under the tree is shredded wrapping paper, what kind of joy is there? And then there are those people who feel, especially at this time of the year, that this is the season of giving, and it's better to give than to receive. And so they go out and they buy gifts for all sorts of people that they probably hardly even know, thinking that that is going to bring them happiness and joy, which will last. And then they become disappointed when they find out that people have accepted those gifts, but the thank you cards are late in coming, if indeed they come at all. But you know, this Christmas, dear friends, can be different. You can be the one to serve as the evangelist, the good news bringer, to go out into this sin-sick world where you rub shoulders with these people who are looking for happiness and joy in all the wrong places, and where you can look them in the eye and you can say to them what the Apostle Paul said to these Romans: grace, God's undeserved love, and peace are already yours. You have the promise of eternal life in heaven because of your Lord and Savior. That is the gift that God has given to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the gift that God wants you to share with others that you come in contact with in your daily life. But the question which begs to be answered is this: are people hearing God's press release in my life? If God were to call a press conference today and issue a press release for the people of Northern Virginia, what would he say? We don't have to guess. We know the answer. The Bible tells us plainly what that announcement would be. He would say, the news that I have for you is good news. It is news about my Son, Jesus Christ. It is news that is intended for everyone. That is God's breaking news to us on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And not only on this fourth Sunday of Advent, but each and every day of our lives as his children. Get out there and spread that good news. Amen.